Greetings. This is James Dillon with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasted on the BBS network. We're also on eSETI Stargate, and so on YouTube. So if you want to check that out as well. Sometimes we have a video of the interviews, and sometimes it's just great audio. So just depending on the host and how, the availability of the host and what's going on here at the ranch. Crazy things going on at the ranch. We're doing some major filming with some groups that I can't talk about right now. So it's all been done, and hopefully they do a good job with the information that they have. And we'll let you know as soon as we can talk about it, you know, but it's one of the major TV networks. The other things going on, I know people are really experiencing these energies coming in. They're off the scale. This human resonance is off the scale. The cosmic ray index, the solar flares, everything. So hang on to your hats. You know, I think we had another one. We had a huge one come in on the 11th, and then after that, it brought everybody's stuff up. And so everybody's been dealing with that since the 11th, so it'll continue. But anyway, so with my guest tonight, we've got Billy Carson, and we've had him on the show before, and he's also been a speaker here up at the conferences at eSETI. And he's the founder of Forbidden Knowledge, Inc., and he's the author of the Compendium of the Original of the Emerald Tablets. He's an expert host on Deep Space, a new original streaming series by Gaia. The series explores the secret space program, revealing extraordinary technologies and their potential origins. He also serves an expert host on Gaia's original series, Ancient Aliens, which is a team of renowned scholars, deciphers riddles of our origins, and pieces together our forgotten history, documented in monuments and texts around the world. As co-founder of the United Family of Anomaly Hunters, he also works with some of the top anomaly hunters in the world. And the mission is to provide evidence of past and present life on Earth, as well as other celestial bodies in our solar system. They also work to educate others about ancient technologies, their potential origins. The group is a pioneer in two fields of science, archaeoastronomy, astroanthropology, and he believes that these will be offered as college course in the not-so-distant future. He appreciates the dedication and hard work it takes to accomplish great things. Recently, Mr. Carson earned the Certificate of Science with an emphasis on neuroscience at MIT, along with the most notable achievements. He's also the CEO of First Class Space Agency-based Alternative Propulsion Systems and Zero-Point Energy Devices. So, boy, lots to cover here. So, without any further ado, Billy, are you with us?
I'm here. Thanks for having me on, and that's a great intro. I appreciate you reading all that information about me.
You know, there's so many ways to go on this. I'm just going to kind of turn it over to you, and what do you think is the most important, and what do you want to talk about? What's the leading breaking news as far as the work that you're doing?
Well, there's some real amazing things going on right now in aerospace, in private aerospace, as you know, of course, with SpaceX and Blue Origins and Bigelow Aerospace, everybody trying to make this race to the moon and beyond. And I had started a space agency in 2014 called First Class Space Agency, based in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in hopes of getting some grants to do research and development. And finally, all the years of hard work and dedication, we finally found the funding that we need to make some things happen. And we've just literally opened the doors to start accepting applications for aerospace engineers, quantum physicists, biologists, even CAD designers, people that can run 3D printing machines, CNC machines, all of that. So we're full steam right now trying to build out a brand new laboratory. And we're looking to start doing, to take some of the research that has been done to extend that, and also now to producing some prototypes of some of these devices that we've been working on.
Great. Yeah, we've got a few devices here we're working on. We've got these plasma generators, the GANS units, and amazing. I blew my leg out, and my ankle is really bad. I put this little, they call them wands on it, I guess, that it's just a round circle with this stuff in it, and I put it on my foot, and I woke up the next morning, it was fine, like nothing happened.
That's incredible.
There's some crazy stuff that we're starting to play with as well. But we're working towards a lot of free energy technology and eventually anti-gravity and counter-gravity, which seems like it's right up your alley.
Yeah.
I need to
look into moving to the first round of funds up there. Yeah, please hook us up with whoever you have, because right now we're in the building stages, and every part is a very crucial component to our success at this moment.
Yeah, I don't know why they're using rockets. I mean, we haven't needed rockets for quite some time, and it's time to bring out that other technology and join the rest of the universe.
Absolutely. That's right. We're looking to take our technology to a couple of the countries initially, and we're starting with perpetual motion generators, hydrogen generators, and zero point energy generators as well.
Great. How far along are you with those? Have you built any prototypes yet?
We're working on the prototypes now. That's what we needed the additional funding for, because we really needed to be able to develop something. We have a very small prototype that I had created actually several years ago that runs off of reverse magnetic fields. But the problem that I had was I needed more gears and torque to increase ratio and increase the power output. And so now with the funding, we'll be able to really create a real prototype that can show some real serious progress and show that what it can really do. We're also looking to develop technology a little bit in what you were talking about with anti-gravity and counter-gravity. So we're looking to create an inertial dampener to give artificial gravity to astronauts in space without having to have a gigantic spaceship that rotates. And we're also looking to provide anti-gravity via a ferrovortex fluid engine that's going to basically use mercury drive, electricity, and magnetism, combination of all of that inside of a torus to create a field, a bubble, that will allow them to reduce the weight of an object.
So the mercury drive mercury drive is mentioned in the ancient Sanskrit books. You know, they talk about the Vimanas, and somehow they use mercury in their drive systems.
Right. Absolutely. That's really where we got the idea. Just like Hitler did when he went around the world back in the 1920s and 30s, looking for these ancient scripts in the Mahabharata, the Bhagavad Gita, traveling all the way to the North Pole and everything else. Mm-hmm. He was looking for this ancient information to develop these Vimanas, or these what he called Hanabu craft. And so we kind of really just took a page from that book, to be quite honest with you, and started doing very small experiments about 2 years ago with some mercury that was very easily attainable and some magnets on a very small disc about the size of a dinner plate. And we got some very decent results just with that. I'm talking about a very, very, very rudimentary prototype that we were able to measure effectively a little bit of the gravity being reduced. So we know that if we step it up to a full-size prototype, maybe the size of an SUV, we can get a significant reduction of weight. But now with the funding, within the next 7 months to a year, we're really looking forward to putting out a prototype that can do what we really think it can, is to create a form of anti-gravity that can be boosted with thrusters and for steering and control, kind of like the ancient Vimanas did in the Mahabharata, maybe even reduce the weight of payload going into space for people who are still using rockets. And we can make an attachment to a rocket that can be reduced, that can reduce the weight of the rocket, reduce the amount of fuel needed to launch the rocket. Now their payload profit increases. So there's a lot of ways that we're looking to, capitalize on the market.
Yeah, definitely. I've seen some technology out there and some of it I can't talk about, but it doesn't matter, how big the object is you attach it to. It's going to change its nature, and make it weightless, basically. But, I was thinking about that. Boy, they're saying there's no limit to it. But you have something like that, now you just need a propulsion system, and you can send anything anywhere.
Yeah, it's really amazing. And it's time to take off the training wheels, like you say, off the old rocketry that NASA and some of the other countries are using. It's just, it doesn't make any sense, So we're going to probably work with the Indian Space Agency, and maybe even the Nigerian Space Agency initially. Initially, to start with our generators to help bring them power to their missions. And we may do some satellites and probes, and we may even look to do a rover to Mars through India. So these are some of the things we're looking forward to. Yes, it's really, really going to be amazing. And we've literally gone into the ancient past to look at see what they've done in the past and try to bring it to the present day and just see how we can mimic it, copy it, what technology is available for us today that can kind of recreate what we read about in the ancient tablets.
Yeah, you know, good. You ever heard of Langenberg technology?
No, I haven't heard of them yet.
Yeah, check it out. Just go to langenbergresearch.com or Langenberg technology and have a conversation with them. You'll be mind blown on those. But the a lot of this stuff exists. It's just getting it out, having a network to get it out, and a network that's not going to be suppressed or stifled, you know, by the, I call them the powers at work, because they're folding in on themselves fast.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You're right. You hit it right on the head. That's really the key. I mean, they're starting to release information about UFOs, being real, and they kind of just dribble drab it out there to the general population in these declassified files with all the redactions on them. And hardly anybody has the time to dig through it to find those documents and then to look them up and then to go through all the redactions. But they're out there, and they pretty much openly stated that, you know, they're out there and they're not ours. They're not any other countries. They're from somewhere else, either under the ocean, out of the earth, or from outer space, one of the three, but they're definitely not ours. I really do believe that we're able to bring some of these craft down in the past, maybe even currently. Maybe this is what the HAARP is really used for, besides controlling weather patterns. Maybe it's used to bring down UFOs and things like that. But they're here, and the technology has been, you know, broken down and rediscovered and reproduced. That's why they call them ARVs, alien reproduction vehicles. You know, so
yeah,
we're just going to try to, you know, utilize everything that we've learned and all the research that's available to everybody out there now, and all the incredible minds that are coming out of MIT and some of these other schools. These young kids are ready for alternative sciences and alternative ways of building things. So that's who we're going after, the younger crowd, to help with the engineering and building and development. Just because a lot of the, you know, there's still going to be some older people, but some of the older engineers, their minds are kind of set towards the mainstream mindset, and they're not really looking into these alternative type of technologies. So I think that the younger crowd, they're ready for this. Just from what I could see on my social media, my blogs and lectures, a lot of the younger people now, they're just so ready for these changes to occur. And they're just like their DNA is set up for this. They're so understanding of how these things would work and how they could work, and their ideas and their concepts are so fresh and new. It's what we need right now, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think a lot of them are in touch with their souls, and their souls have had incarnations on extremely advanced other civilizations, other planets, other systems, even other dimensions. And they have that technology and knowledge of that technology in their souls, and they're coming here, and they just need an avenue to express that. And sounds like you're giving them that opportunity, which is, I think, is going to be a quantum leap in science. You know, as long as they're not inhibited in any way, you know, to bring that information out.
Yeah, I'm so excited. You know, I was doing a little research a few months ago, and I came across a study that said that if it wasn't for the Inquisitions, the papal Inquisitions that lasted for about close to 700 years, where they literally killed and tortured 80 million people, if it wasn't for that, the Arabs would have been to the moon in the 1800s. That's how fast they were advancing technologically back then. That's incredible. You know?
Yeah.
We should be traveling to stars.
You know, and they had that tech. I guess they had a lot of that ancient technology. You know, they were kind of revising it. And I guess Iran has a lot of that technology. They're starting to, you know, build their own chips and things like that, according to Keshe. But, you know, who knows? But I've heard a lot of stories about that. And I know, we all know we have our own secret space fleet. And I think it's funny when you're talking about ARVs, the alien replication vehicles.
Yeah.
I hear people say that. They go, well, those – that's ours. There are no ETs out there. That's ours. We built those. And I said, well, what are they called? And they go, ARVs. And I said, what does it stand for? You know? And it's pretty funny. They just don't want to put that alien word in there, you know, for some reason.
Yeah, I know. It seems to offend a lot of people. You know, I've been, as you know, my blogs talk about everything of quite an array of different topics. And one of my biggest topics, of course, is the fact that I truly do believe that mankind had an interaction with advanced beings in a distant past and maybe even currently right now today on a consistent basis. And that they've altered our fate. They've sped up our evolution in terms of technology. And when you look at how we went from a horse, buggy, and carriage 100 years ago to now we can send a remote control car to another planet, you know, halfway across our solar system, it's just reeks of alien intervention. And when I say the word alien, a lot of people seem to want to get offended by that. And they say that I'm denouncing that humans have any sense, any logic, any abilities. But that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is if you look at the track of a human being in terms of technology, and then you look at the ancient texts where these people interacted with us, you can see the spike in our evolution of technology. It's just a plain fact. And I've traveled all around the globe, as you know, and I've been to a lot of ancient sites, and the evidence of this advanced ability and technology is all over the globe. And so people seem to get offended by the word alien, but the truth is the majority of the world are worshiping aliens. If they're in a religion, all the people that they're saying are deities are obviously not from this planet.
Yeah, the bearded gods. Every religion has their bearded gods. And the bearded gods were the Anunnaki, you know, just those who came from heaven to earth. And they came from different systems. And some behaved in a benevolent way and some were malevolent. You know? So
exactly.
Depends on your religion. If you want a jealous, wrathful, genocidal god, you know, then you've got a malevolent Anunnaki, you know, that you're working with.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, and I keep trying to tell people when I say alien, don't think of a little tiny green man with the antenna. It's somebody that we look like them in most cases.
Yeah.
You know, and they just can't seem to grasp that concept.
They talk about God creating man in its own image. And you think about that, well, maybe that was all the DNA mucking around that was going on where they added the DNA of the gods to the human experience. And, you know, and that's all at Gosford Glyphs in Australia. That's all written in stone, the whole history of Earth. You know, the colonies coming down, the interaction, the splicing of DNA, and the cataclysms and how they had to start over. And, you know, you talk to the Aboriginal elders over there, they'll tell you, you know, all about the Palladians and the terraforming going on here and everything else. They're fully aware of it.
Yes, sir. I mean, you hit it right on the head. The Gosford area, and also you have the place over there in Kerryong 9, about 2 hours north of Sydney, where there's a partially uncovered Egyptian temple there. And on the walls, this is an amazing story. On the walls there, going back many thousands of years, they have UFOs. They have a mothership with smaller UFOs coming out of it. They have depictions of ancient Egyptians traveling there when it was called the Land of Kem. And one of the most amazing stories that really solidified it for me was the fact that two brothers had traveled there. I think they were sons of Ramses. And one brother got bit by a snake early after arriving, and the other brother tried to save his life. He couldn't. He actually mummified him there, and the mummification table is still there. And then he wrapped him, and he left a note on the in the glyphs that he was taking it back to Egypt. And guess what? When I went to Egypt in 2014, the writing of them returning in the glyphs with his dead brother is there, closing the whole circle on the entire story. Amazing story and evidence of Egyptians traveling to Australia. And the main reason why they went there in the glyphs, to get wisdom from the Aboriginal elders.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. And it's funny. That's all written on Gosford Glyphs. The whole thing is written in stone there, but, and in other places too. So it's kind of like, I don't know why, you know, why I know they have the religious narrative and each culture has their narrative and they want it to be the only narrative. And it's so much bigger than that. And then my nephew worked on the genome experiment, and he said there's so much alien DNA here. They call it junk DNA. It's not junk. It's alien.
Right.
But, you know, they'll we'll figure it out one day, but it's just, it's so vast. I mean, you look at, you know, the gold that the Egyptians had over there came from Ballarat, and it came from Australia. And so the Pharaoh's breastplate and all that stuff, that gold actually came from Australia, which that kind of ties it all together too.
Absolutely. It's amazing, man. There's so much, you know, like they say, we're a species with amnesia. There's so much in the distant past that we've kind of forgotten, but all the breadcrumbs have been left behind. So I really feel like there's no excuse for us not to at least paint ourselves some type of picture that can give us an idea of what happened in the ancient past. We may not be able to get it 100% accurate, but we should be able to get a general, and the general idea that I get is that advanced beings came here with technology that was probably close to 400,000 to 1 million years ahead of ours, depending on which way you look at it, from different star systems, various different races of beings from all over, and they came to this solar system to strip mine the entire solar system for all different types of resources, gold being one of them, and they found our cousins here on this planet evolving. And I'm almost starting to think now, after many more years of research, to be honest with you, that our cousins were probably a lot more intelligent than us, and that they weren't just dumb Neanderthals, but they probably had a lot more spiritual intelligence, not technological intelligence. I think their skulls were bigger, their brains were bigger. I think that their pineal gands, because of that, might have been bigger, and they probably were in tune with each other, in tune with the earth, in tune with the resonant frequency of the planet, probably using their magnetite crystals in their brains to navigate and sense problems and situations that would arise, like different types of catastrophes and so forth. I think that when we were genetically modified, in some ways we might have been brightened up in technological side of our brain, but I think in some ways we lost a lot of our connections with the earth and the planet and the universe, and that was intentional. And then now scientists say they just discovered a worship gene inside the human genome that they say they don't know how it got there. It looks artificially set to where we have human beings now prone to want to worship something. So to me, it just reeks of, obviously, alien intervention and somebody genetically modifying us in the distant past, probably around 200,000 years ago. And also, that's when they also snipped chromosome number 2, fused it together, put 2 telomere caps on each end to shorten our lifespans and keep us just as fast-living working slaves. You know, so it's time to break out of this.
Yeah, it's funny, too, is that what I'm finding is that a lot of that the stuff that they did is being undone. It's interesting. There seems to be a, I don't know what to call it, like an ascension wave going on, and it has to do with the sun and everything else. And a lot of people are going through extreme DNA changes, especially with all the cosmic rays hitting the planet. And a lot of this DNA is getting activated, you know, and, you know, telepathy and the direct knowing and being able to see forward or backward in time and, you know, all the dreams and visions, past lives, things like that, all that seems to be coming forward right now.
Yeah, you're right. A lot more indigos are being born now, too, under these cosmic rays as well. That's having a direct effect on DNA. And a lot of people that I talk to, they just don't, you know, they don't want to, you know, some of them are people that are just trying to start to look into this stuff and wake up. They don't understand how DNA can change just like that. Well, scientists have already proven just talking positive affirmations to yourself can change your DNA. I mean, so if all it takes to change DNA, imagine what cosmic rays are doing and different alignments with gravitational fields are doing from planets and hitting your body and, you know, going through your body and nuons and all these different things that are passing through your body on a daily basis, every single second, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, modifying us. And I think really, as we're, because right now we're hovering around the galactic equator of our Milky Way, and I think that we're getting a stream of these cosmic rays, and they're definitely affecting us and bringing out bringing us back to the golden age and bringing us back to the beings that we probably once were.
Yeah, I agree. The I know Dr. Emoto over there, there's Dr. Emoto with an I and Dr. Emoto with an E, who took over the other one's work. I was sitting with him in his laboratory and we were talking about all this, and he was talking about how water actually holds the pattern of DNA and that you can transfer DNA through water. And I said, well, you know, lasers can actually transfer DNA from a frog into a salamander, and the salamander will be a frog or either way. And so now they're finding lasers can transfer DNA, you know, light can transfer DNA as well. and water holds DNA. We're like, what, 90-something percent water if we're hydrated. But you really think about it, you know, you start thinking about the Immaculate Conception. You know, what if these beings are here and they're turning on their little lasers and zapping us with this, you know, transfer of DNA, and, you know, especially with all the abductions and all the other things going on, you know, I think there's a massive experiment going on as far as altering our DNA and lifting the consciousness of the planet.
Right. Absolutely. I agree with you 1,000%. And I really do believe, like, the technology you're talking about, light transfer and all of that, that's all goes back to what I talk about a lot. The fact that the reason why these types of technologies can interface directly with a biological human is because we're living inside of a light matrix. And because this light matrix is set up a certain way, photonic energies, they're able to develop technologies that can directly interface with a biological organism, which is primarily empty space. If you took all the human beings on the entire planet, all 7.5 billion human beings right now, and took away all the empty space between the atoms, you can fit everyone into a space the size of a sugar cube. A sugar cube can hold every human being on this entire planet. Everything else is just an illusion. You know, so it's just really incredible. And when you, it's amazing. And when you take the particles that are left, if you smash them together, like in CERN and the atom smasher, you discover there's really nothing there but light. And it's no matter how many particles are left, no matter how many times you smash them, or you get light. If we're living, you know, we're part of a light matrix, and they understand and know this, and they have the technology to directly interface it, to hack it, to do whatever, you know, when these people are saying they're hearing voices in their heads and all that. I believe a lot of that stuff is true, but I believe it's technology interfacing with them and causing them to do certain things at certain times. Some may be government, but some of it may be these you know, these beings, the ones that are not too nice. And some of them are the nice ones that actually help and interact and help save people alive. When they say, my guardian angel and things like that, I think some of these benevolent ones have interfaced and sent messages and directly given people information to help change and alter different current, you know, events and things like that. And it happens on a consistent basis. And I think we're being watched and monitored, and they're waiting for, the majority of them are waiting for us to grow up and get to a certain level mentally and spiritually, to where we realize that why are we letting 13 families control 7.5 billion people? We have to step up and we need to put an end to that. And I think that's the point that we're getting to. And when we completely denounce and put an end to this system that's been put on top of us for so many millennia, I think we'll see a lot more direct contact and interaction, as they feel that we're probably now getting ready to walk, and they're going to help us run.
Yeah, I agree. I know there are things in the works where these 13 families are not doing too well. And I'm aware of that on certain levels. And I think it's very close. A lot of these things are very close to being launched, where these massive humanitarian funds are going to be made available. A lot of people think it's just a joke and it's not real or anything else. But I know firsthand it's real, because I know the people that are releasing the funds. You know, so
nice.
So it's not that far, it's not that far out where there's just going to be a massive economic change on the planet, social economic change. I think physical changes are going to follow that as well, you know, because of the Earth expanding, you know, moving into a new place in the solar system. The universe we've never been before. And all these things happening, you know, I just see it's going to be amazing, but you got to pay attention.
Right.
To get through these times.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, man. It's just amazing. I know when we were out at Eddie City Ranch last year, you know, I was there for 7 days, and every day they did not let us down. Those UFOs were out there, man. They were out there in the daylight. They were out there in the nighttime, visible to the naked eye. And then you had the military, you know, the Black Hawks coming over and everything. It was amazing.
It was pretty funny. We've had a lot more Black Hawks lately. Things have really stepped up. And we just did a major television crew was just here, and they weren't disappointed. And we told them, I said, 10:15 is going to come in. And they go, that's when the space station comes in. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, well, there's going to be two following the space station. And sure enough, at 10:15, the space station goes over and two big ships come cruising in. It's hilarious. And you know, and I hope they air it. They always sanitize these things. You know, you give them pre-knowledge, you give them the footage, everything to go with it, multiple witnesses, and then they'll show some weird little light. They won't use the good ones. They'll use the little anomalous light in the sky and bring some NASA guy on to say it's a space station or something.
Yeah, but, I know. They always have another side that they try to play to satisfy the powers that be, I guess, or whatever. Yeah, I know. I've been through it a few times already. Yeah. But the thing is, that's beautiful about that ranch that you have is because people come there from, I witnessed it myself. People came from all over the world every single day to witness these UFOs flying around. And I was telling somebody the other day that we've got to go there and just check it out. I said, what if they're not there? I said, listen, trust me. There's no day you cannot go that they're not there. So we won't be let down. We just got to go, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, if you got clear skies, you're going to see something. And I think one night we counted about 200. It was crazy. But, we have all the systems up. We have, you know, J-Tracker and Heavens Above. And we're going to look. That's a satellite. That's not a satellite. But, you know, and we're showing people how to tell the difference. And, late at night when the sun's directly behind the Earth, you know, these things are flying in near shadow. So they're self-illuminated. You know, they're not... Right. They're not reflecting light, and the iridium flares are out of commission now. So everybody's trying to say, "Oh, you saw an iridium flare when they power up," you know, like that. Mm-hmm. And you just go, "Well, those are out of commission right now." So it's funny how they always have an excuse. But the biggest one for me was when James Todd at OMSI Planetarium and they brought this other, I can't remember his name, it's this NASA guy in. And I filmed this ship landing on the mountain, morphing into three or four ships back to one again. And it did it for quite some time, and then it took off. Well, they said that was the space station, that we mistook it for the space station or the shuttle. It was either the shuttle or the space station. And I said, well, I haven't seen any shuttles landing on Mount Adams lately, and I don't know how the space station could, you know, hold its trajectory considering that thing is on the mountain, you know.
Exactly. Come on.
And, yeah. Yeah, and I go. Is anybody using any base logic here? You know, but that's the standard. It's almost like it used to be swamp gas and weather balloon. Now it's a space station. You know, that's all they got. Or Venus. They're still going back to Venus again.
Yeah, of course.
You know, but you know, it's just crazy.
Go ahead.
I was curious if you've looked into, I'm hearing all kinds of crazy stories and it's hard to tell what's true and what's not true, but a lot of the things are launching up there lately, and this 5G network and all these little cubes and other things. Have you been doing research into that?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Elon Musk is the one trying to put 2,000 cubes up there to bring 5G network to the planet, and his hopes of doing that is to fund his Mars project. I don't know. I mean, I've heard so much stuff about the 5G. I've looked into it extensively. I've researched what a lot of different, really, scientists now. I've read a few science articles that have come out and said that it's not going to be too good, that it really agitates and vibrates the atoms in a biological organism to the point where it can cause different types of mutations in cells. So, that leads to different cancers and everything else. And some countries now have already banned it. They're not going to accept it whatsoever. But a lot of places are now still moving forward with it, including, of course, America, the capitalistic society. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in 8 to 10 years with all this 5G frequency going around.
Yeah, I don't think, first of all, if it's 5 to 10 years, I don't think they're even going to get on with that, because things are going to change so rapidly now that they aren't going to be able to implement any of those programs that are detrimental. But, I always say good luck with that. One good solar flare is going to take it all down anyway.
That's all you need. That's all you need.
Yeah.
I mean,
you can put all the boxes you want up there. You know, the ETs might start doing batting practice with them or something. Right. They'll probably beam them down in his living room, you know, and say, you know, these shouldn't be up here.
Right.
Who knows?
I think the next level in communication, to me, in my opinion, should have been lasers and should be laser technology. I mean, the amount of speed that you can download from lasers is just astronomical. And the government knows this because they have a communication satellite that they use lasers to communicate back and forth with to the moon and also to Mars. What are they sending? What kind of communication? Who are they talking to? Nobody ever says what they never say who they're talking to, but they've got a communication array that they're talking to. But the next big one that I'd like to see, which in hopes of developing, I'd like to be a part of it, is developing a subspace telecommunications array that allows us to communicate faster than the speed of light through quantum entanglement via crystal technology. And I think that's really the wave of the future. That's the next level that we'll be able to get to. Or we take crystals and we put special crystals that have been quantum entangled here on Earth into probes and send those probes out into deep space and create an array. And then the information that needs to be transmitted can be transmitted to one of the arrays, one of the satellites in the array, or probes in the array, and it can be communicated back to home base instantaneously, or from home base out to the array to a receiving ship or vessel somewhere out there, almost instantaneously, reducing greatly the amount of delay that you get when you're talking about, sending messages back and forth from Mars or to the moon or even out way further past the hard rocky planets.
Well, Tesla had that system, I guess, where he was communicating using the Earth, the whole entire Earth, as an antenna, and you could communicate or even broadcast power, through those systems. And I guess they were benign; they had no negative effects or anything. And I don't know why we aren't doing that, versus throwing stuff up in space when we could be, put a few of those towers up and here and there, and it would just use the Earth as a transmitter.
Right, you can. I mean, to be honest with you actually can. The Earth, every single planet and every single moon in our solar system in space period has their own specific unique frequency. It's like a fingerprint. And you can harness that frequency and you can actually piggyback a message on that frequency. And what's interesting is a few years ago, NASA picked up the frequency of Titan. And they did Jupiter and they did Saturn. They did Titan is a moon of Saturn. But this particular, the one I'm reason why I'm talking about Titan is because Titan had a specific sound wave that came out of it, and it really sounded very strange to me. So I took that sound wave and I put it into an audio program because I'm a musician, and then I slowed down the audio, and it sounds like language. I mean, it doesn't sound like they're speaking English or Russian, but it just sounds like intelligent communication chatter going back and forth. It's really amazing. I'll send you a copy of it. It's really amazing. So I
Yeah, I'd
start to
love to
think,
hear that.
you got to hear this. It's going to blow you away when you hear this. I mean, it's going to literally blow
Yeah.
you away. It sounds like chatter, intelligent chatter. So it's like, wow, could this be a communications, signal that was picked up and there's, just kind of hiding it as a planetary or a frequency of a moon? I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? I know one thing is we took this thing, this guy had it here. Clyde Lewis, his group came out here and they brought this black box out. And it was bizarre. And so they brought this black box out and they started talking and asking questions, and it started answering back, and it was just scanning, the white noise and all, and started communicating back. And we're asking them who they were, and they talked about, we're several groups, and we're sitting there talking to these ETs through this black box.
Wow.
And this guy went up there and he started speaking Russian, and they spoke back to him in Russian. And the other guy spoke to him in German, and they spoke back to him in German. And the Russian guy said, "Are we going to go to war with Putin?" And it goes nit, it goes nit, like this, very clear. And then it elaborated on it, and we're just going, "Holy smokes, man, this thing is." And I was getting the telepathic communications at the same time, which was interesting. But they were, this thing was speak could speak all different languages, and it talked about how they were here for this shift to help us get through these times, and a really positive message. Everything was really positive about it. But obviously these were some kind of an ET ambassadors, and they seemed to be Pleiadians, and another group, the Orion Council of Light group, was here, and they were totally speaking whatever language you know, you wanted to speak to him in.
Yeah, that's incredible. I mean, the book that I wrote, Compendium of the Emerald Tablets, in there, it's almost like we're in the same era now as we were at the time that Thoth wrote the Emerald Tablets, when he was told to, the waters, the flood waters were residing. It's time to help bring man back to a high level of consciousness and bring them to a high level of civilization. And then he goes out on this mission around the planet, on this benevolent mission to help bring mankind from all over the planet back to a high level, teach them how to, to build, teach them how to think, teach them how to love, teach them how to seek the light. And it seems like we're heading into that same era again right now, where we've got these benevolent entities that really are looking to help us achieve this higher level of consciousness and move to the next stage. And I'm thinking really take us from a type zero civilization to a type one civilization, at least.
Yeah, it does seem like we're definitely going in that direction, but hopefully, we don't do something stupid. I know there's one group that would like to, start up World War III massive, get rid of 80% of us and things like that. And there's another group trying to preserve everything.
Right.
So hopefully we hook up with the right people.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the key. I'd like to see Thoth step in from the ancient times, and, I think he's still here. And do what he does. But I know that he said in the Emerald Tablets that far in the future, an enemy is going to come from the deep, and the wise person or wise people will discover how to get his ship from out of underneath the Sphinx and defend this planet with ease, basically, so to speak. So I'm really excited to see that whole thing pan out, because I think that could be a huge turning point. For humanity coming together against the common cause and looking to, to stand together and possibly then have that open direct contact and help move us into the next level. As those tablets are really amazing. That's why I wrote the book about it, because the more I looked into them, the more I dug into them, the more I realized the past is the future. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I agree. J.J. Hurtak talked a lot about that, and he said, some of the ETs that are coming here, he said, you don't want to cook up with them. He said, some of the first contacts are not going to be in our highest and best good. And we have to use discernment and make sure we're working with the benevolent ones and the positive ones. And that's the same message I've been giving out. We've been getting the same exact information, about that situation. And I've seen some things coming out lately I've never even seen before. We've been doing a lot of clearing here. And I've been watching people get full on taken over by some of these energies. And we can push them out and we can clear them out. But it's sad that there's something usually in that person that invites it in.
Yeah.
It's either an extreme childhood trauma, or it's alcohol or drug abuse, or something like that. There's something allowing that to come in, or even just seeking power over others and things like that, or power and wealth at the expense of others or whatever. Something is opening the door for these things to come in. And we've seen this happen on a huge scale. And it's sad, because some of these people, you can't help them because they don't want to give it up. They don't want to change their ways, but they want you to fix everything for them.
Right. Exactly. That's the issue. That's the situation that we're kind of facing right now,
We're not McDonald's,
Right. Exactly.
We're not the golden arches here. You just can't drive through and become enlightened. You got to put your time in.
That's the key, man. I had a guy today telling me that everything that I talk about doesn't exist and everything is fake. And I said to him, well, name the list of countries that you've been to, a lot of the ancient sites that you've been to. I don't even have a passport. Okay, so you don't have a passport. You don't travel anywhere. But I've been to all these different places, all these sites, all these countries. Okay, how many books on these topics have you read? How many of the ancient tablets have you actually read? Haven't read any of them. I said, so you're basing your entire opinion on emotion instead of research and investigation. And that's the biggest problem I think we have. Now, it's starting to get a lot better because we're moving towards this consciousness thing, and a lot more people are beginning to wake up. we've got to have a lot more people becoming more active in their research and investigation, because that truly is what's going to help them all open up their eyes all the way. Because just relying on somebody's telling you and saying, oh, this guy's, I trust this guy, he must be right, is the same thing as going to church and listening to a pastor. At some point, we each have to find that truth within ourselves, you know?
Yeah, I agree 100%. It's like, you know, if you want to, you've got to read. I mean, all throughout the Bible, these things we're talking about are in the Bible. And and people just don't know how to read it. And they go and have some pastor just tell them how to think. Mm-hmm. And you've really got to do your research. And when you read it, you're going, wait a second. You know, UFOs are replete throughout the Bible, throughout all the ancient texts. And and even the translations of those have been all skewed. And, you know, Michal Ledwith is a good friend of mine. He used to be an advisor to the Pope. And he said Genesis, you know, was incorrect, too, because when you really decipher it, you know, it says in the beginning, the father of all fathers created the gods, plural, who created the heavens and the earth.
Right.
And gets a whole new thing. And the Lord's Prayer is totally different. When you get the Arabic version of the Lord's Prayer, it talks about, oh, cosmic birder of all things, you know, and it has a whole different translation other than what we're taught, you know, in church or by ministers who haven't done their own research.
That's very true. And some of them, I mean, unwittingly have just followed suit. They've pretty much studied the same 15, 20 verses their entire life. They did a little seminary. They read a little ordinance, and now they regurgitate the same information over and over again. And then the people just suck it up and they don't really spend the time to dig into themselves. It's unfortunate, but, you know, it's just, it's where we were, you know, this is why we're here. We have to help them break out of that in the nicest, most respectable way that we possibly can, without hurting them, denouncing their religion or anything else, but at the same time, letting them know that hey, I want you to take a look at this. I want you to dig a little bit deeper and open just a little bit more, because there's a lot more behind this veil here that you're, you know, that you're counting and basing your entire eternity on. There's a lot more going on behind the scenes. And one of the things that I'd like to point out to people that are heavily into religion is a lot of them haven't done any research on the source of the ancient text or the scriptures that they've been reading. They're just taking it for face value without digging deep enough into it to track down the history, where it came from, who wrote it, when it was written, where's the original document, what was the copy, how was it plagiarized, and all this type of stuff is very, very important, especially if you're basing your eternity on something. If I've got, you know, my lifetime to base my eternity on something, I damn well better look into it as hard as I possibly can. And I'm going to break it apart, rip it apart, and see if it still can stand, you know, after I dig into it. And I think that's where we are. We have to get people to really not denounce their faith. I think faith is important, but I think we have to look into a lot of the more modern, what I call the New Age information that's been put out. New Age because it's stolen from more ancient information, but it's and chopped food and everything else. And it's unfortunately, it's hurt us and slowed our progress down. People tend to think that once you do that, you're saying that you can't believe in God and everything else. And that's absolutely not true. God, to me, really does exist as a creator of this realm. Quantum physics proves that there's someone or something that created this universe that we're living in. So it's set up mathematically and perfectly. It's in tune with everything, and it's all based on resonant frequencies. It's a high technology that created this realm. So that's true. The law of attraction and the universal consciousness, you want to call it Christ consciousness, God consciousness, that's all real. And it can be proven in anybody's life as long as they enact the proper laws within it and operate within it. They'll see the same things happen as you have when you were dealing in a level of faith. So all these things are real and true. It's just that the control system that's been put over us to hide us from the fact that we've had advanced beings interacting with mankind using UFOs all throughout the entire Bible, and these advanced technologies and manipulating us has been suppressed. And that's unfortunate. But now we're at the point where we're like the pioneers helping usher mankind into a whole new age. And that's why I'm really excited to be alive right now.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I've had people come up here and same thing, and they kind of belittle everything, and they go, well, I'm a scientist, you know, or whatever. And, you know, they said that I don't believe in any of this. And I said, so you want proof, right? And he says, yeah. And I said, so, you know, well, what does that constitute? What does proof constitute? And he goes, I want physical evidence. And I said, so you want physical evidence of non-physical events? You know, and I go, where's the logic in that?
You guys,
there's 11 dimensions out there that you all agree on. There's more than that, but they actually agree there's 11 dimensions out there. They're non-physical, but you're demanding physical proof of these non-physical events. So if you have an instrument that can measure non-physical energies, and there are out there, then you can prove a lot of this stuff because, you know, you've got infrared energies and new technologies and PIP technology actually can measure a lot of these energies and, you know, film orbs and light beams and all the other manifestations, you know, through aura photography and things like that. But, you know, it's funny how that technology is out there, but if they don't go and look at it and research it, they just keep dismissing everything because you don't have physical proof. And even the videos, I mean, we have so many photographs and videos of ships here. It's overwhelming of every kind of ship on the planet, basically. And they still deny it. They go, oh, you CGI'd that. Or it's so funny because they tell me that I CGI'd, this is CGI. And if anybody knew me, on my computer, I can answer email and edit. Maybe I can edit a newsletter, and that's as far as I can go. CGI is so far out of my pay grade. So
yeah,
I wouldn't even know where to start or how to even do that.
Right.
You know, my CGI would probably look like stick people, you know, with funny heads pasted on them or something. You know, but
right.
Yeah, we don't. Yeah. I don't have that funding, or I don't have that ability. You know, but no. It's kind of hilarious, but. But I just go, you know, you guys are just keep pushing this recycled ignorance. You know, when are you going to stop, back up, and embrace all this higher wisdom? You know, it's all around you. And, you know, I had a guy here once. He goes, I'll believe that's a ship when it stops and goes in the opposite direction. And right after he said that, it did. You know, right in front of him. And it just turned him upside down. It was hilarious watching him try to explain that one away. But
yeah.
We have that happen here a lot. You know,
man, I'm an eyewitness. I was there with you, man. I'm an eyewitness. I'm a true believer. I had seen a UFO when I was a child, and that was my, you know, that was at the age of 7. I had to wait all these years to the age of 47 to be able to see them again. And I saw quite a few at that time. That was amazing.
Yeah, it's even escalating. There's even more happening, and it's getting pretty intense. And I think pretty soon the whole world, you know, what they told me when they decloaked, he said, you're going to see they're looking for parking space up there. You know, there's so many of them. And I know they just released a massive fleet going by the moon. Somebody videotaped that with their telescope just recently. Somebody sent me that one. And something, I don't know if it was in Wyoming or something, somebody else filmed just another massive fleet, you know, doing their thing. So it's getting pretty intense out there. You know, we're hitting the end of the hour. I know we could probably talk for another 3 hours about all what's going down, but what's the best way that people can contact you or get a hold of you?
Well, first I'll be speaking at Contact in the Desert, May 30th through June 3rd. That's in a week. Actually, which is going to be exciting. You can come out there, come to two of my lectures. I'll be on a couple of panels as well. And you can also find me at forbiddenknowledge.com with the number 4BIDDEN, forbiddenknowledge.com. And also Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, everything else is Forbidden Knowledge with the number 4. And also my book, Compendium of the Emerald Tablets, Volume 2, is out now, edited by Laura Cantu. She did a phenomenal job. Winter Wolf Press, I want to thank her. And it's doing phenomenal numbers right now, all 5-star ratings on Amazon. You can also get an autographed copy of that book on my website, forbiddenknowledge.com.
Awesome. Hey, well, yeah, it was great. I mean, we got to do this again because there's so much information. And I'll definitely see you at Contact in the Desert. You know, I'm speaking there as well. And we'll get you back out here for some workshops real soon.
That would be fantastic. I really want to do that, man, ASAP. Please send me back out to East Eddy Ranch.
Okay, we'll set something up, but Anyway, again, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. It was great. We'll have to do it again. We missed so much. I know we just touched the iceberg. And unfortunately, we're out of time. So this is James Hill with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Keep an open mind, pure intent, and an open heart, loving heart, and everything will be well. Have a great evening. Good night.